this is the old good morning man flipping through the sometimes dusty pages of memory to recall something memorable that happened over the last 50 years, the years WHKP has served this area full-time, full service. Most of the happenings and the people who made them happen occurred after Frank L. Fitzsimmons had finished his 25-year-long series from the banks of the Ocklawaha. So we call this series Where Mr. Fitz Left Off. In 1960, an afternoon I'll never forget, Ronald Reagan and I sat most of the afternoon behind these microphones chatting with the listeners, and I'll have more on that after this. In 1960, General Electric's outdoor lighting department had been operating in Hendersonville for about 4 years. GE sponsored at that time nationally a series of programs hosted by Ronald Reagan. As part of the sponsorship agreement, Reagan would make a certain number of visits to General Electric plants around the country as a goodwill gesture from GE to the people of the communities in which GE had established operations. In 1960, Ronald Reagan had not gotten involved in conservative politics yet, although before he married his second wife, Nancy Davis, he would date Doris Day on an occasion, and she complained once, all he wants to do is talk politics. But because he had not thrown his hat into the national political ring, he had not become the object of derision by leftists and the intellectual elite. Later, any time his name would be mentioned by the network commentators and analysts, he would be simply referred to as the star of Bedtime for Bonzo. At the time Ronald Reagan came to Hendersonville, he had appeared with Betty Davis in 1939 in Dark Victory, in 1940 with Pat O'Brien and Claude Rains in Canute Rockne, in 1940 with Errol Flynn and Olivia de Havilland in Santa Fe Trail. Reagan was in 1941 with Charles Coburn, Ann Sheridan, Robert Cummings, and Claude Rains in Kings Row. In 42, it was Desperate Journey with Errol Flynn and Raymond Massey. In 1943, Reagan appeared with Irving Berlin, George Murphy, who was another object of academia's wrath, Kate Smith, and George Tobias. Indeed, a colorful career, he would co-star with Barbara Stanwyck, Lee Marvin, Angie Dickinson, John Payne, Rhonda Fleming, Frank Lovejoy, and on and on. And so it was with this impressive screen background that Ronald Reagan appeared in Hendersonville for the GE Outdoor Lighting Department. In the morning, he had appeared at a meet-and-eat gathering of community leaders where he'd simply stood and, in his inimitable, affable way, he had entertained these people for more than an hour. He was brought on down to the studios of WHKP on the banks of the Ocklawaha, where we had promoted all day. He'd be available to answer any question posed to him by any listener. I dug out that old dusty tape of that broadcast the other day, and even after all these years, I could understand how Ronald Reagan's visit that day made him one of my all-time screen heroes, and even motivated me to take a more active role in politics. I noticed that Reagan was fielding questions on every subject, including a question on the manufacture of GE generators, which was asked by none other than my old friend Leander Johnson.
Well, everyone thinks now, sometimes we ourselves get to think that once you've been on television enough, everybody knows you and recognizes you immediately. And it is true they recognize your face, but just before your hat size can begin to go up, something happens to bring you back to normal. And to me, it was in New York not too long ago. I was going down the street trying to get a cab. Suddenly, about 30 feet away, a fella stopped, pointed his finger, and he yelled, "Ah, I know you. I know you. I see you all the time on that television." Well, of course, in New York, anything that happens out of the ordinary, everybody stops. So I'm at one end of a semicircle or an oval of people, and they're all massed around, big grins on their faces waiting, and he's coming slowly toward me like the Westerner with a gun, you know, on the shootout. And every step, pointing that finger right at my nose, he's saying, "I see you all the time. I know you. I know who you are." Gets right up to me, and he says, "Ray Milland." And then he asked me for an autograph, so as I told him this morning, I signed Ray Milland. There was no sense in disappointing him.
Now, the reason I ask you to tell that story first, we had suggested that Ronald Reagan of the GE Theater would be with us and that we'd be happy to receive questions from our listeners. So we have this one addressed to the GE Theater, and it says, "The question that I would want to ask Ronald Coleman is how can one get to see a movie star, Ronald Coleman?"
Oh, dear.
And he just glided from one subject to another. Ronald Reagan was 49 years of age, and I was 36. It was the easiest, most delightful interview I ever did. And it would be from 1967 through 1974, and then in his later years, that these learned, biased propagandists who call themselves news anchors would always refer to Ronald Reagan, a great star, as the star of Bedtime for Bonzo. What glorious memories of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to be born in Hendersonville, the good sense never to leave, and who had worked at a job he loved not for 50 years but all his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.